Just to remind, we're going to do a refuah shleima for Dvorah Badina, Oz Avram Shima Ben Chana, Karmi Bat Ni'ima, Orli Penina Bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipora. We're starting at Yud Bet Amud Bet. We have to go back a little bit. If you look on the chart, what? Yud Tet Amud Bet? Oh, I said the wrong thing. Sorry, Yud Tet Amud Bet. Okay, you tell him a bit. We're not going backwards. Even though right at the end of every parak, Hadron Alach, you're supposed to go backwards. No time for that in Daf Yomi. We're starting a new Tedem Bet today. Near the bottom, we're going to just review for a minute these different opinions that came up on Yud Tet that we didn't learn together. There's a three-way machloket, or sort of three-way. There's three opinions. Some of them overlap, as you're going to see, between Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so the first thing, if you follow the chart on the sheet, the first thing is the order of how you do the sota, right? And this comes from the problem. If you look at the Psukim in Bamidbar Parakei, it starts off in Kaf Dalid, V'hishka Teisha, he makes the woman drink. Then it talks about the Mincha, and then it says again in Pasuk Kaf Zayin, V'hishka Tamayim. Okay? And there's also, right, it also says at the end of Kavav, V'achar Yashka Teisha Tamayim, right? Which seems to imply after the Mincha, you do the Shtia. But Chachamim think that the first Vihishka comes to teach you about the order, that really, even though it says V'achar Yashka Teisha Tamayim, really that's not what it means. It means first Vihishka, like Pasuk Kaf Dalet, then you do the Mincha. Okay? And then, so that's what he uses the word Vihishka and Pasuk Kaf Dalet to teach. Okay? I'm not going to get into everything about it because it was all in yesterday's daf, but that's his opinion. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva think it's the opposite. Based on this V'achar Yishka Yisha Tamayim and Pasuk Kavav and then Pasuk Kavzayin, that the first you do the Mincha, then she drinks the water. Now, comes Rabbi Shimon and he says, except why does the word V'hishka appear in Pasuk Kavdale then? And he says, it comes to teach you, B'di'evet, if you did it in that order, it's okay. Now, the Gemara says, like, what are you talking about? Since when does the Pasuk teach you a B'di'evet halacha? It seems very strange. Anyway, that's what he does with that. And Rabbi Akiva says the word V'ishka comes to teach you something else, which they all happen to agree with, which is that if im nimchaka migila, okay, you can read it here, if, and this is where we're going to start with Rabbi Akiva here, he says if the migila is already erased, and then she says, I'm not going to drink, we force her to drink. Okay, and that's what the V'ishka comes to teach. Yeah, it's very painful. But remember, this is all based on the whole concept. Once you already erase the Megillah, so you erase the Megillah, right? And she has to drink the water at that point. So now we're going to see that there's a problem with this Braita. Okay, that's the second chart on the sheet. This Braita versus another Braita we're going to see. Okay, so we're going to start now six lines before the lines get wide on Yud Tet Amud Bet. Does he really believe that we do this? V'hatanya, don't we have a braita where it says like this? First it's going to bring Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then it's going to bring Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kalbu shel barzel matilim letoch pia. This is really horrible, right? They put like a contraption in her mouth to make sure her mouth doesn't like close up, her throat doesn't close up. Apparently they used this also when they did the strafa, which they would pour hot lead down, one of the mito beitin. Okay, says they put this contraption so that if she says, I'm not going to drink, we force her to drink. Right, I was thinking, you know, when you try to get kids to take medicine and they don't want to take it, right, imagine trying to force someone, right, they could really just spit it all out. Right, so basically also in this case, if she spits it out, you're kind of stuck because then the water is gone and you've already erased the Megillah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, klum anu tzrichim ela lebodka. The whole issue is to check her. V'halo b'duka v'omedet. In other words, if she basically says, I'm not going to drink, it's basically because she's saying, I'm guilty and I don't want to die. And therefore, don't we assume that she's b'duka v'omedet? The whole thing is we want to know, is she tmeya or not? The sota orders are coming to get rid of a safek. Now, this woman, if she's saying, I refuse to drink because I'm guilty, presumably, right? That's at least presumably why. Okay, therefore, she's basically proven she's guilty. At that point, we don't have a question anymore. Okay, we don't need to ask. You know, we don't need to use the water. So why would you force her, according to Rabbi Akiva? Ella, so Rabbi Akiva says like this, Ad shelo karev hakometz, yichola lachzorba. Misha karev hakometz, eina yichola lachzorba. Now he adds this line, which we're going to see sort of contradicts what he said a second ago. So it's going to depend whether she's already brought the korban mincha or not. If she's brought the, if really the husband brings korban mincha, if the korban mincha is already brought, then she can then she can't change her mind. But before it's brought, she's still allowed to change her mind. So first, we'll leave off on understanding this last line right now for a minute. First, the Gemara's problem is, in our Braita, it said that Rabbi Akiva said, we forced her to drink the water. And in this one, we said, we don't, Rabbi Akiva said, we don't force her to drink the water. But now the Gemara is going to say, before it answers the contradiction, they're going to say, V'litamech, tikshilachi gufa. If you're already asking the question, this Braita in and of itself is a problem. Now, what are they really trying to say? Obviously, the Braita's messed up. It's got a mistake in it. And therefore, don't start asking questions from some questionable Braita. This Braita clearly is messed up. And therefore, we can just ignore it and stick with our original Braita. So why does this Braita seem problematic? Because what does it say? Mishakarev hakometz eno yochola lachzorba v'alo b'duka v'omedet. In one thing, it seems to imply that it's the komet that's kovel, whether you've brought the mincha or haven't brought the mincha. But in the beginning part of the Braita, he says it depends on whether she refuses to drink it. In other words, her issue is once she says, I refuse to drink it, she's b'duka v'omedet. So it shouldn't matter whether kareva komets or not kareva komets. As soon as she says, I'm not drinking the water because presumably I'm guilty, therefore it shouldn't matter. It should be even if after kareva komets because she's b'duka v'omedet. So therefore, this doesn't seem to jive. But now the Gemara says, no. The Braita does jive, and now we're going to explain how it contradicts how we explain the contradiction between the other Braita. Lo kasha, hadikama hadraba machmat ritita, v'hadikama hadraba machmat briuta. There's two different types of her not wanting to drink the water. One is out of fear, and one is out of health. Right? If she does it from a healthy place, meaning she doesn't look like she's scared out of her mind. She looks like she's, you know, of sane mind. And then why is she not drinking the water? Because she's guilty. Okay? And therefore, we're going to say once she says, No.
Seems like it would be the opposite.
Wait, klal klal lo shatya? Right, no.
She goes in calm, then she seems guilty, and if she goes in fearful, then she's worrying.
Komachmat b'yuta. Okay, so let's read it for a second. Hakamah hadro mocham b'yuta v'hachi kamah. Komachmat b'yuta klal klal lo shatya. Right, we're not going to make her drink, right? I just messed it up on the chart here. So if she's going to drink it machmat b'yuta, then we're not going to make her drink because obviously she's guilty and she doesn't have any fear. She's saying, I'm guilty. But retichta ad shelo karava komets da'akate lo imchik megila inami imchik megila de'shelo kedin avid kohanim de'machke and therefore matze hadrabe misha karava komets de'bedin avid kohanim de'machke lo matze hadrabe. Okay, so what are they saying here? That if she does it, machmat retichta, okay, she's scared, so then it's going to depend. Ad shelo karava komets, if we haven't yet brought the mincha, then what are we assuming, right? Akate lo imchuk megila, right? Remember what Rabbi Akiva holds. First you makruv the megila, then the mincha, then you're mashka the sota. So if you haven't yet done the mincha, then you haven't yet erased the megila. Or, and then obviously, what are we going to say? Right? If it hasn't yet been brought, then obviously we can... Okay, or, just let's go for one more minute. Imchug Megillah d'shelo kedin avid. Right? Or they already erased the Megillah, but they did it against the halakha. Now remember, okay, we're going to go back to what we said in the beginning. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva agree that the order is mincha and then mashke. But Rabbi Shimon said, if you do it in the wrong order, b'dievet, it's okay. That's what the word b'hishka comes to teach you. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, that's not what the word b'hishka comes to teach you. B'hishka comes to teach you that we forced her to drink, which means that what? That he thinks b'dievet, if you did it in the wrong order, it's no good. Okay? And therefore, inami inchuk megila d'shelo kedin avikonim d'machke. And therefore, matze hadrava. Now that she can say, I'm not drinking the water at that point because the kohanim messed up. They did it in the wrong order. And therefore, she can. Or it wasn't even erased yet, in which case we allow her to go back. Okay? But misha karava komets, dibidin avi kohanim demachke. And that once you already did the komets, you did the mincha, and then they erased the megillah, then it was done in the right order. And at that point, once the megillah is erased, ein brei rava, she has to drink. Okay, and therefore the komets is the key issue here because If the Kometz, obviously we're talking about that the Megillah was erased. But if the Megillah was erased before the Kometz happened, then it was done Shalo Kedin. And if it was done Shalo Kedin, then we can't force her to drink the water. Okay? Whereas if it was done Kedin, then we can force her to drink the water, because then it was all Kedin, and then she could drink the water.
And then who would be liable for having erased it? For having the words erased, Shalom.
I guess the Kohanim, really. It's their responsibility. They did it in the wrong order. Now, that's only according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds. According to Chachamim, they erased it in the right order. According to Rabbi Shimon, b'dieved, it's okay. Only Rabbi Akiva holds it can't, and that's why that's the determining factor, according to him. Okay, and that's why the Braitot that seem to contradict really don't contradict. Okay, in the end, once everything was done Kedin, then she can't say, I'm not drinking. But if it wasn't done Kedin, or it wasn't erased yet, then she can do it. She can say, I'm not drinking. Okay? So now they're going to say, wait. Kasha de Rabbi Akiva de Rabbi Akiva. Hatam amar mechika ma'akva. In the first braita, he says it's mechika that's ma'akev. Vahacha amar komets ma'akev. Right. What's interesting here, even though we could kind of work this all out, it just doesn't make sense. In the first braita that we saw, he says it's all about whether it was erased or not. And in the second braita, he used the words, it's all about whether the kometz was mikrav, the mincha was brought, or not. So something doesn't work here. So what do they say? Trei tanai v'alibi d'Rabbi Akiva. There's actually a machloket tanaim, alibi d'Rabbi Akiva, and it's two different tanaim understanding Rabbi Akiva, whether the key thing is the kometz or the key is the mechikat megillah. Okay. Ibai elahu, question. Amra eni shota machma briyuta, v'chazra v'amra shota ani. What if, now we just established that what? If she says it from a position of strength, I'm not drinking this water, we're assuming that she's tamea, which means there's no value to the sota water at all, because the sota water is just to explain a safek. But now, what if she says after that, no, you know what, I am going to drink the waters. Mahu. So do we say like this? Now we're going to see two different options. Do we say, basically, are we saying that this eini shota, now this goes back to, right, all of this is psychology, right? What's going on in her mind? When she says eini shota, does she mean to say, is that totally equated with tme'a ani? In which case, if we say that, there's no drinking the waters at this point. We know you're tme'a. Bekevan da'achzik nafshe betumah, since she turned herself, she was machziket atzma betumah, lo matya hadrabe, she can't go back on that. O dilma, kevan da'amra shotani, or do we say no? Well, we thought that that was the case, right? We certainly didn't know 100%. And therefore, now that she says later, I want to drink the waters, gal yedata demachma biatuta hu da'amra. We thought she was in a position of strength, right? How often do we know that people kind of hold it in and they, you know, you can make a poker face, you can make it look like you're coming from a position of strength. But now that she says, no, I want to drink the waters, it showed that she just was scared. And really, it didn't come from a position of, I'm tmea. It came from, I'm a little nervous about drinking this water, right? And this gets into the whole concept of the woman confessing. We talked about this before, right? The woman confessing a false confession, right? She didn't really mean it. And just out of fear, she might actually confess, right? Which we know is the case of many people. You know, people are trying to force them to confess. And here we see they're trying very hard to force this woman to confess. And in the end, she might confess, but she doesn't really mean it. And also, she didn't actually say the words to Me'ani. She just said, I'm not going to drink the water. So, the answer obviously is Teku. We don't know. Okay? We don't know. It's very complicated. Amar Rabua de Shmuel, Sarich Shite Mar Litoch HaMayim. You have to put something bitter into the water. My time, Tamarkra Me Hamarim, Shamarim Kfar. In other words, what does it say? It says in the Pasuk, Vishkat Haishat Me Hamarim Hamaarim. It says these bitter waters, meaning the waters were bitter to begin with, before, I think the assumption is before we erased the Megillah into it. Okay, so that the waters were bitter. So it must be we have to put something bitter into the waters. Okay, why that is, I don't know. You could just say maybe a connection of the bitterness and the bitterness of what, you know, what transpired. I don't know enough about it. Okay, new Mishnah. Ad shelo nimchaka Megillah, amra eini shota. If the Megillah was not erased yet, now what does that mean though? The Megillah was written, right? They wrote the Megillah. And here we're going to get into halachot of, does the Megillah need to be written lishma? Does it need to be erased lishma? We kind of referenced this already before. And we're going to obviously compare this to gittin, where gittin is clearly, the get has to be written lishma. Okay, like a classic example, a sofer is not allowed to just write Megillot you know, get gittin and have a stash of them. They have to be written lishma, okay? There's a whole debate whether you can have blank ones and then write in the names. What if you find in the garbage a get with a guy's name and a woman's name and it turns out that's exactly the names you need? Can you reuse it? You have to think about it. In those times also, writing a star was not as simple as printing something up nowadays, you know. I mean, obviously, we don't print up gittin either. We write them out. But anyway, there all the more so. It wasn't as simple to just write together a star, put together a piece of parchment. So anyway, this whole thing about whether what needs to be lishma, what part of it needs to be lishma, the writing of it, the erasing of it. Okay, we saw before, right, with the two sotot, and if you mix up the waters, right? And okay, so now we're going to see more stuff about this. So ad shalonim chaka mihila, let's say it wasn't yet erased. Amra eini shota, she says, I'm not going to drink. Megilata nignezet. Okay, we put it in the geniza. Okay, now there's a very weird Yerushalmi here. I didn't look enough into it to see like what the answers are, but it raises a lot of questions. According to the Yerushalmi, they would put it on the floor under the door, and that over time, as the door would open, the hinge of the door, it would erase the Megillah, which was their form of geniza. Like somehow they would erase it, but erase it almost in a natural way, but it seems very strange. And the Mefarshim asked, they're like, how could you do that? Because in a sense, you're causing it to be erased. You're putting it in a place where it's clearly going to be erased, and then you're erasing Shem Hashem. How could you do that? Anyway, it's a very strange opinion, but I thought it was worthy of mentioning. Here it just seems like it goes in a geniza, it gets buried or something, right? Like a geniza, like we would imagine. Umincha mitpazeret al hadeshen. Now, what do you do with the mincha? Right, the mincha was also all prepared. So it's Kodesh, but now we see it's not really Kodesh, okay? Because it was all, and it's, once she says, I'm not drinking, and we're assuming she's saying it because I'm Tmei'ah, then we no longer need the water, as it turns out. So everything that we did was basically, like, gets erased. It has no Kedusha anymore. So Minchatam et Pazeret al HaDeshen, we kind of sprinkle it on the Deshen, to be burned. Ve'ein Megilatak Shera Lahashkopa Sota Acheret. Here we get into the Lishma. You can't reuse the Megillah for a different woman. Now, this is a little different from get because her name doesn't appear on this, right? Here's just the psukim. But yet, despite that, it has to be done for her, okay? And therefore, you can't reuse it.
How long do you think it would take to erase the name? Like, if it's ink and water, it's not going to be on right away.
Once it goes in the water, you're saying, or you're saying if we were going to use it? No, once it goes in the water, right, it's a good question how long it takes. Well, first of all, we talked about the geo that you can't use something that's more permanent. So I don't know. It's a good question. It probably takes just a few minutes, I would imagine. I don't know. It's a good question. We could do a science experiment, try to figure out what kind of geo, you know, what they used in their geo, what kind of parchment. It might be a little complicated, but
she's like,
right,
the middle,
right.
It's like half erased and half fun.
It's true, right. What Pam is pointing out is that it's very possible that when they talk about this, once the Megillah was erased, and then she wants to be Chozer Bo, like there's a lot of time lapse, possibly, because in the time that it takes for the ink to dissolve, to dissipate into the water, and the Megillah to be erased. Now, also, the question is, what does it mean it's erased? Does it have to be entirely erased or partially erased? Once we say if it's erased, that's the moment she can no longer change her mind. So the question is, at what stage of that dissipating would that be? You know, until it's mostly erased, all erased? Right. That's a good question.
And what you said about ash, about using ash, mm-hmm. You know, what they used over the history in making pigments, it changed and.
Right, so the question is what material they use. I mean, it seemed clear from what we learned earlier is that you have to make sure it doesn't have the certain substances, we're going to get into these substances again today, that makes it more permanent, okay? Which dafka we use in other cases, like in writing a Sefer Torah, we dafka use the stuff that makes it more permanent so it doesn't get erased. And here we're dafka looking for something that will be able to get erased. Okay, so nimchaka megila v'amrat me'ani, hamayim nishpachin. Okay, we throw the water. We just spill it out, okay? This is the same thing. And as we assume, once she says Tmeani, it was all for naught. Now, again, you have to, it's a little bit strange here because we've been talking about once you erase these waters, you know, they have some Kedusha element to them. How can we just throw them? It's a bit of a question, but the assumption is this was all done by mistake. And therefore, right, Rashi even says, right, Hamayim Hamarim lo nitnu ela levarer tasafek, only to tell us what the safek was, and now we know. So basically, they're useless, these waters. And you can see also, we're finally getting to this, but this is what they wanted to avoid. Right? This is why they had her walking back and forth, and they did all sorts of things to delay things so that, right, we all know that it's just natural that this happens all the time in my family life, right? We have to make a decision, and you know, you make a decision a few months in advance or a few weeks in advance, and when it comes down to it, all of a sudden you change your mind. You see it right in front of your face, and then you realize, oh, maybe that wasn't exactly what, you know, I didn't envision it exactly until you actually get to the moment, right? What was I thinking, and why didn't I realize, you know? Or sometimes you realize, like, just before, and then you change your mind, you know, and you think, oh, why didn't I realize that months ago or weeks ago or whatever it might be? So here, you can also imagine, right? She said, oh, whatever, I'll go through it. But when she gets there and it's in front of her face, you know, you can see she'd get more nervous than before. So again, once she's there at that moment, they try to prolong the whole thing until they get to the Mechikat Meginah, so that at that moment, while it's erasing, you know, that's not the moment where she decides finally, oh, I'm not going to do this, and decides to confess. Okay, so now, Nimchikah Megillah. Yeah.
That there's some dirt or something from Kodesh HaKodeshim, it's in the water, right?
They put the dirt, yeah. The dust.
That doesn't make the water even more sanctified, that it would be a problem.
So what Noam is saying is if we have the dust from the floor of the Heichal, right, again, there were different opinions about whether it came from the outside or from the inside, and it doesn't have to come from the outside. With that, if you have the dust from there, wouldn't that be, but on the other hand, it's dust. I don't think it's holy. It's not holy dust. The issue is that you put it in a klei sharet already. That's part of the question some of the person asked you. It was already in a klei sharet. Once in a klei sharet, it's kodesh. But then again, they say, well, it was all in a klei sharet by mistake. This was all a big mistake, and we never should have gotten here. Okay, but you can see there's struggles here. There's questions, lots of questions. Nimchika migila. Now, once it's erased, okay, so if she says tmeani, then we spill the waters. But if she just says eini shota, then ma'arino ta mushkinota ba'al korcha. Okay, at that point, we force her to drink it. Einam esapeket lishtot. Okay, now they're describing what's supposed to happen. She barely finishes drinking. This is obviously an exaggeration. Okay, she's still drinking almost, right? It's not really true because she actually has to drink all the water before it takes effect. But it's like as she's drinking, okay, it happens immediately. What happens? Ad shepanem orikot ve'enea boltot v'himit maleit gidin. Okay, some people say like you could see the sinews and the stuff in her face start to explode. Okay, like everything starts to blow up. Okay. The effect is immediate, although we'll see, maybe not necessarily. Vehem omrim hotziuha shaloti tameh azara. Okay, get this woman out of here. So she's not metame the azara. And we're going to talk soon about what kind of tumor we're talking about, because she's in, okay, I don't have the maps here again, but if you remember, there's the Ezrat Nashim where she's standing, right? Not connected to the fact that it's called Ezrat Nashim, but that's the area, right? And there, tumah is actually allowed. So the question is going to be why we're worried about tumah, right? She's not in the Kodesh area or in the Heichal or in the Ezrat Kohanim or Ezrat Israel even, where tumah would be a problem. Okay, so why do we have to take her out? And also there's an issue that tumah made specifically, you're not allowed to come into the Beit HaMikdash if you're tumah made. But if it happens inside, in other words, also, first of all, they don't necessarily have to remove her immediately because they have to wait till maybe she's closer to dying. There's a bunch of questions we're going to see. Eventually, they're going to say it's actually tumat nida we're worried about. Okay, and then we're going to talk about that later. Okay. Because it doesn't say what kind of tumat, right? We assume tumat may, but they're going to say it's really tumat nida. V'im yesh leschut. Okay, we're getting, by the way, to a very famous line of this Mishnah that you know out of context. Okay, if anyone looked ahead yet, don't peek yet. Im yesh leschut, hayta tolala. Okay, if she had some sort of zchuyot. Okay, she was a woman who did certain things in her life that gave her zchuyot. Then this would be hanging, meaning it could be the sota waters wouldn't affect her immediately. And this is going to raise all sorts of problems, right? Yesh la zchut tola shana achat. Yesh zchut tola shtei shanim. Okay, shnatayim. Yesh zchut tola gimel shanim. Okay, there's basically different zchuyot that could last you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You could outlive this, right? And then the sota waters will only get you later. Now, this obviously raises all sorts of problems. The whole idea is she's supposed to now be proven innocent. So if nothing happens to her, we assume she's innocent, she can go back to her husband. But if maybe it's a zchut, then, you know, now the other issue is what? Okay, and this is going to be a lead into the next line, okay, that what's going to happen if she knows that she did something wrong. And she drinks these sota waters, right? We've talked about before how empowered this woman must feel if she drinks the sota water. She's really innocent. She's proven her innocence. And now, wow, look, I've proven my innocence. So first of all, this all goes down the drain, right? Because now it doesn't necessarily prove innocence. And number two, think about the opposite effects it will have on a woman who's really guilty, who now sees I drank the sota waters and look, nothing happened to me. I beat the system. Okay, which makes her think, oh, I can do this again, right? And it doesn't bode well. So, Mikan Omer ben Azai, very important statement. Chayav adam lelamed bito Torah. You have to teach your daughter's Torah. Why? Shim tishteh, okay? Teidash hazchut tolala. She'll know. For this reason, she'll know. She'll know. Okay, I actually thought that there was a different reading of this, although it seems clearly not the pshat, but it's definitely the way I read it when I first read it, because I have trouble reading it the real pshat way. But the pshat way seems to indicate that, because then he doesn't really need to teach her Torah, he just needs to teach her this one halacha, right? And all he needs to do is teach her this one halacha. Right, exactly. He can teach other values also, which will prevent her. But the point is, we have to teach her to avoid the situation where the woman says, oh look, I beat the system. Okay. Now maybe you could say she has to learn Torah because you can't just teach one halacha without understanding the system, right? What's the point? I'll take not necessarily controversial in our context of our shir, but you know, there are people who think, and we're going to see this in a minute, that women shouldn't be learning Gemara, right? Now part of the reason, you say, you can learn halacha, learn things that are relevant to you, right? That's the old time, all excuses. But what's the problem? If you just learn halacha and you don't understand what's Gemara, you've all learned now, it's all the whole logic system. There's a whole different system of logic. And if you try to learn halacha without understanding the whole logic behind it, it's very hard to understand what to do in particular situations. It's hard to value the system. It's hard to, you know, to appreciate it.
And it's hard to understand that what you do depends on the situation.
Right, exactly. What you do depends on the situation. Exactly this. So maybe part of what they're saying is she has to understand, women have to understand the way the system works. Because otherwise they won't really understand why this sota, why this chuyo might be tolimba, and why it's not working on her. And you have to understand the whole lot. In order to understand one halacha, yeah, that's what I really like about this. In order to understand one halacha, you have to learn the whole thing. You have to know what the law, how it works. What's behind the system. And that's what learning Torah is all about, what's behind it. Okay? One other thought I had, this is what I said, I don't think the pshat is, but it sounds like he could be saying, you have to teach your daughter Torah. Why? The problem is the word teda, I guess. But she'll know that the zchut tolala, the zchut that she learned Torah will stand, in other words, it's a zchut, the Torah, and that will be her zchut that will keep her going. It will give her longer life, basically. But I don't think it's really the pshat. I preferred that one. But anyway, I think that's really what it's saying. Because otherwise, he could just teach her that one sota halacha, or teach her not to be an adulteress. But again, he might be able to teach her those things. She might do it anyway. But at least, if she does become an adulteress, and then she knows at least that she drinks this water, then she'll understand that it's her zchuyot and not that the sota waters didn't work. But Ben Azai's not the only opinion. Rabbi, I forgot now, is it Eliezer or Elazar?
Yeah.
Should know who says this, right? It's the most famous statement about women learning, right? As someone who started my stage learning Torah in a very equal way to men and women in Yeshiva Flatbush, and then immediately came to Israel for the year, all my friends from Yeshiva Flatbush went to yeshivas and all of a sudden started coming and telling us, wait a minute, you guys can't learn Gemara. And I said, what are you talking about? And then, you know, you get quoted all these lines, like Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kol Melameh Bito Torah. Now there's two versions. It's ki'ilu, or maybe actually lomda tiflut. Okay, tiflut can be explained in many ways. Okay, what is tiflut? Tafel is something that's like havai, like empty. He teaches her emptiness because the assumption is the woman doesn't have enough intellect to be able to understand it, and they'll basically be teaching her nothingness. Okay, other people say no, tiflut is sexual promiscuity. Okay. And maybe she'll learn how to outwit the system. Interestingly enough, this is mentioned in Sota, right? It's not b'mikre that this comes up in Sota, this line. He's worried that she might figure out a way to beat the system, so to speak. Okay? So, interesting line, but if you notice here, it's not the only line, right? So when people quote this, that's why I said people quote this out of context. But, you know, clearly there was a line before that you're supposed to teach your daughter Torah. And notice, this is all about, right, the other retort always to this comment is, this is should a father teach her daughter. It has to do with the father's chiyuv to teach the daughter because the father has chiyuv to teach his son Torah, so does he also chiyuv to teach his daughter Torah? It never says there that a woman on her own can't come and learn Torah, right? Or maybe even Rabbi Lezer would say, it shouldn't be a blanket thing that every man should teach her daughter Torah because she might misunderstand it. But if there's a woman who's worthy and can understand, which, you know, might now apply to most women in the world, right? Because women are different than they were then in terms of their intellectual, you know, what the expectations are. So anyway, these are all interesting statements. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rotze Isha Bekave Tiflut Mitisha Kabin Uprishut. Okay, so now he says, okay, we're going to see this better in the Gemara. Okay, what exactly he means, but I'll just sort of explain the words a little bit. A woman would rather have one kav of food and promiscuity from nine kavim of food and abstinence, okay, from sexual activity, prishut. Okay. Who we'll get to it in the Gemara, not today. Hu hayaomer, okay, he would also say, here's another line that's not so clear we're going to see in the Gemara. Chassid shote, okay, a chassid who's not really very smart, doesn't, you know, does things in silly manners. Rasha arum, okay, arum doesn't mean naked, it means trick, like a tricky rasha, trickster. Isha prusha, a woman who abstains, which we're going to see doesn't necessarily mean in a positive way here. Makot prushin, okay, this seems to be someone who, the Gemara is going to explain, it's someone who hits himself against the wall to show that he's sanua or humble, like in a bad way. These are all mevale olam. They help the world to get destroyed. Like, these are all bad things. Okay, we'll talk about these later in the Gemara. Okay, now we're starting with the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Okay, they say Mishum Rabbi Meir like this. Kshayiti lamed Torah etza Rabbi Akiva, hayiti matil kan kanton l'toch hadio. Now we're going back to the ink. Okay, when I learned, okay, here's Rabbi Akiva, and he's describing when I used to learn Torah etza Rabbi Akiva way back when. Rabbi Yehuda, I would put kankanton in the dio. Okay, this was a certain substance that would make it more permanent. But lo amarli davar. Okay, what? How did they describe it?
Doesn't translate it.
Yeah, here it translates it in the Koran. It says it's copper sulfate. Okay, now what he's talking here, by the way, is not the Megillat Sotah. It's Torah. When I would write a Sefer Torah, and I would put this copper sulfate into the ink, okay? Lo amar li davar, he didn't complain, he didn't say anything to me. Ukishabati, and then when I stopped learning with Rabbi Akiva, and I went to learn with Rabbi Ishmael, Shabbati etz Rabbi Ishmael, amar le, he said to me, Bini, ma malachtecha, what do you do? Amarti lo, lablarani, I'm a sofer. Amar li, Bini, heveza hir, shemalachtecha, malachet shamayim hi. Shema tachsir otachad, otatir otachav, and imseit atam achayev et kol ha'olam kulo. You have to be very careful because you can mess up one little letter and you can be machriv et kol ha'olam. Okay, what does that mean? So some people say that either it means if you just mess up one word, the whole Torah is pasul, or it might mean if you mess up a particular letter. Okay, like letters, for example, that will make it like there's more than one God. Okay, instead of vayomer Hashem, vayomru Hashem, or you know, vayidabru Hashem, or you know, if you make a yud into a vav, if you write a vav instead of, right, you can take one word and it will have this double mashmah. Remember that was the whole thing, right? The Trinity, or you know, the more than one God, the meaning that were going on in those days. Okay. Amarti lo davar chad yeshli. There's one thing I do. Shani matil etochat yo. The kankaton shmo. I do put something in the dio, and that's kankaton. Amar li v'chimetilin kankaton l'tocha dio. Do you really do that? Hatorah amra umacha k'tav shiuchal limchot. So then he quotes him from the Sota, and he says you have to use something that can be erased, and kankaton makes it permanent, and therefore you can't use it. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. My kamash ka'amar le umay kamahadra le. I don't understand this back and forth between them. What was Rabbi Meir saying, and what was Rabbi Yishmael answering him. Hachi ka'amalei. Sorry, what's the connection between the chaserot and the yeterot, and then the kankanton? And what was Rabbi Yishmael talking about when he said, make sure you don't, you know, if you mess up one letter, and then what did he start talking about this kankanton? So, hachi ka'amalei. Lo mibaye b'chaserot b'yeterot debaki ana. Ela afilu lemechash lezvuv. Didil ma'ate v'yati v'tage didalit u'machik le'u m'shavele resh. Okay, so the first thing he said is that his answer to him was, don't worry, and how did he connect between this chaserot and yetirot and the kankanton? He said, not only am I careful not to mess up any one letter, but I'm also worried that maybe a zvuv will come, a little fly will come, and touch the thing, and if it's not a good enough geo, what will happen? He'll erase the ink on a dalet and turn it into a resh. Now, what dalet are we talking about?
Echad,
yafeh. Hashem Echad, or Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, or Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher. Okay? That would obviously make a bad connotation. So what do they say? Davar Echad Yeshli, Shani Matil L'toch Adyo V'kan Kanton Shemo. Okay? And that's the thing. So now we have a question on this whole thing. Ini, is this really true, everything we said here? Because V'hat Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, K'shayiti L'mei Torah Etzel Rabbi Yishmael, Hayiti Matil K'an Kanton L'toch Adyo V'lo Amar Li Davar. Now we're going to have the exact same thing, but the flip. It wasn't Rabbi Akiva we learned with first. It was Rabbi Yishmael he learned with first. And it wasn't Rabbi Akiva who didn't say anything about the kankanton. It was Rabbi Yishmael who didn't say anything. It was Rabbi Akiva who Davka did. So everything's going to be opposite. So there's going to be two problems. One is, who says what about the kankanton? And number two is, who was his first teacher and who was his second teacher? And so he's kind of telling a story. When I used to learn in Rabbi Akiva's Beit Midrash, and I moved to Rabbi Yishmael's Beit Midrash, now it's going to be the opposite. Okay? So it's like a little bit of a historical thing. So he says, "Kshiyitu lemeitor etzer Rabbi Yishmael, yiti matil kankanton l'tochad yov lo amar li davar. Kshabati etzer Rabbi Akiva asra alai." So number one, kasha shimush shimush, and number two, kasha asra al asra. In other words, who astered it and who was mishamish? So bishlama shimush shimush lo kasha. We can explain that very easily. The order of who we learn by, because meikara atzer lekamed Rabbi Akiva. First, he learned it to Rabbi Akiva. But what happened? Kevan de lo matzikam alibei. He was very hard to learn with him. He had a very, very difficult, right? He was very complicated thinking. And it was very hard for him to follow. So therefore, Atul Kameh to Rabbi Yishmael. So then he started learning with Rabbi Yishmael. Begamar Gamar. And then he learned all the halachot. And then, Hadar Atul Kameh to Rabbi Akiva and Savar Svara. Once he had the base of all the halachot, then he was able to go back to Rabbi Akiva and understand his complex logic. But he couldn't start there. It wasn't a good place to start. So therefore, it was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. So the place where we went from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yishmael, it was the first to the second. And then when he went from Rabbi Yishmael to Rabbi Akiva, it was the second to the third. But now, Ela Asara, Asara Kashya. So they say Kashya. Yes, it's difficult. We can't answer that up. We don't have an answer. Okay, so we don't know who says what, basically. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, L'kol Matilim Kan Kanton L'toch Adio. So now we have, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, you can always put Kan Kanton in the Dio, Chutz Mi Parashat Sota Bilvad, right, which makes sense. For writing a Sefer Torah, yes, for all other Klafim, yes, but not for Parashat Sota, because it makes a permit. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishmo, Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chutz Mi Parashat Sota Shal Mikdash. Okay, so now, what do we see here? From now we can figure out what the first opinion is. He means, even when he was writing the Parshat Sotan, the Torah, according to the first opinion, he would write it without the kankanton. He used a special dio when he got to the Sefer Torah, even for the Parshat Sotan in the Sefer Torah. But according to Rabbi Yaakov, it was only the cloth that he sticks and he needs to erase.
Wouldn't that be a problem? Like in Sefer Torah.
Right, so it would be a problem in the Sefer Torah. How can you do that exactly? It's a good question. How you were able to do that?
This would imply that maybe they could do Parshat Sotai the other, like Shiloh or somewhere else. But this is because if they separate and they say,
only in the Mikdash they would do it,
as opposed to other places that they did Parshat Sotai.
So they seem to indicate it's Parshat Sotai in the Mikdash or anywhere where they would do it, as opposed to, well, it was in a Sefer Torah. So that's why they say, "My binayu amar b'yirmiyah limchok la mina Torah." What's the nafkamina? Now here you see it. In theory, you could take, according to Tanakama, according to Rabbi Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that even the Parshat Sotah in the Torah, why would you use it of that ink? Because in theory, if you needed to, you could take that Parsha from the Torah and erase it into the Sotah waters. Okay? Now we're going to talk about this in a minute, okay? So now they say, Vahane Tanai ki Hane Tanai. So this Machloket Tanaim must match up to this other Machloket Tanaim. D'tanya, Ein Megilatak Shera Lashkopa Sota Acheret. We just said that you can't use the same Megillah for a different Sota, which means what? If you write it in the Sefer Torah, you can't use it for anybody else. But Rabbi Achai Baroshai Omer, Megilatak Shera Lashkopa Sota Acheret. You can reuse a Sota Megillah, which means you can also take the Sota Parsha from the Torah and use it. Now we're going to say, well, not necessarily. You can't necessarily, whether or not you can use someone else's Sota Shtar, Megillah, doesn't necessarily mean you can take it from the Torah or vice versa. We'll see. So now let's see why. We're going to see both directions. Even if you say this, we don't, okay? Amra Papa, Dilma Lohi, Akan lo kamar tana kamahatam, Ela kevan de intik l'shum Rachel, lo hadra mintka l'shum Leah. Aval Torah de stama k'tiva, hachanami de machkina. Maybe you would say that the person who says you can erase the Sefer Torah, the first opinion there, would say you can use the Sefer Torah, even though it wasn't written Lishma, but you can't use a Megillah that was written for a particular woman. In other words, the Torah was written almost like the Sofer can have in mind when he's writing it that this can go for a Sota. It was written, L'shem anyone. So you can take a blank thing and apply it to a woman, but one that was used for a particular woman can't be used for a different woman. And on the flip side, I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Dil Malohi. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Achai bar Yoshaya hatam ela b'migila de ichtuv l'shum alut ba'olam. And maybe aval Torah de lehilami k'tivi hachinami de lamachkinan. A Torah is not written for the purpose to be erased. So a Torah, which was written for the sake of a Torah to learn from it, can't be erased. Which almost right, it almost contradicts the whole value to erase it if you're. But a Megillah that was written for the name in the name of a particular woman, since it was written. It was written not particularly for her, but it was written to be for the alot, right? For the klalot in it. And therefore, in theory, you'd be able to erase that. Okay, so therefore you can't necessarily learn. So then, now they say, V'Rabbi Achai Bar Oshaya Leitle Katav L'Gareshet Ishto V'Nimlach U'Metzao Ben Iro V'Amar Shmi K'Shimcha V'Shem Ishti K'Shem Ishtecha Pasul L'Garesh Bo. But wait a minute. Does Rabbi Acha Bar Oshaya, who would say, who now we're saying basically you can reuse a sota klach from one woman to another, what does he do with the fact that if you wrote a Megillah to divorce your wife, and then he changes his mind, and someone else finds him, and he has, the exact same shtar, I'll buy it off of you. My name is yours, and my wife's name is yours. It's Pasula Gareshbo. Does he not hold that? So now what does he answer? Amre, hatam bekatav la marachmana, be'inan k'tiva lishma. Hachanami. Oh, so that's his answer. He says, there it says v'katav la. It says v'katav la. La widarshin lishma, in her name. And they say to him, wait a minute. Hachanami. And here we're going to see where they get the source. It has to be lishma. V'asala. Okay, it says, o'isha v'isha shetavor alav ruach kinav kinei d'shov v'emirita isha lefne Hashem. V'asala ha'kohen et kol Torah azot. Asala lishma. So what's the answer? Mayasiya michika. It's not the writing of it that has to be lishma, it's the erasing of it. That's what he would answer. Okay, it's the erasing that has to be lishma. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Sorry we didn't get through more, but we'll finish this stuff up tomorrow.
I just wanted to say, I've been talking to people to find out if this really happened. So far, I haven't found anybody who knows anything, but they gave me a few other places to look. So
you're still looking about whether it's so to actually happened or not.
Yeah.
Okay, stay tuned.